welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, we're recording. Hello, welcome to episode 377 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good.
Have you lost weight?
Are you taking the juice?
Right. Well, yeah, we're talking about weight loss, lockdown weight loss or weight gain. And Sean's blog post, you kind of own up at the start that you've put on, what, 16 pounds, was it? Just over.
So, yeah, in lockdown, 16 pounds, which has got to come off before the winter.
I wouldn't have noticed. You can't tell on Zoom, that's for sure.
That's because you can only see me from here upwards.
All right, we'll talk about that in a sec. Yeah, the blog post is on the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links from this episode as well, all previous episodes too. And do get in touch if there's anything you would like us to discuss in an upcoming episode. So, yeah, Sean, how are you doing? What's new?
What's new is I've been working like absolutely crazy busy because I'm going to take some time out after today. I'm going to relax and chill and talk to sheep on the Yorkshire Dales for a while. So I've had to get loads of stuff done. So it's been amazingly busy. But it's good. It's good. Things are working out. People are coming out of lockdown. Some are having problems. Some are like, woo, let me out. It's okay. It's good. But it's going to be quite a change for so many people over the next month or so, as long as we don't go back into lockdown again.
Mm. Well, yeah. It's going to be quite a fascinating time, really. Yeah, we're up in Northumberland still, but we're going to be back in the next day or two. So, yeah, it's a bit, I wouldn't say I was apprehensive, but yeah, school's starting up again a week on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember.
One question. When you've been up there and you've been out doing your stuff with the kids, have people been social distancing and wearing masks and all that kind of stuff? Have they been doing it for real?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, all the bars and cafes we've been in have all been very good. You know, taking names and numbers on the way in and loads of protocols around that. When you're out and about on the beaches and on the high streets or on the little villages, people are doing their best, you know, to kind of give space when we're passing and all that and walking in the road when you need to, blah, blah. It's quite easy. You know, I'm in England's least populated county, so there's a lot of space to spread out here, especially on the beaches. Amazing beaches, but they're so big and vast and the water's so cold.
Yeah. But, don't say that too loud because lots of people will come there.
Yeah. Well, I know it has been really busy. I've just written down that, yeah, we've been paddleboarding in the last couple of days. My brother-in-law had bought some of the kit, so we took it for a test ride, me and Will, on the river. Right. There's a river in the village we're staying in. But yeah, there's loads of outdoor activities and like adventure stuff going on in Northumberland. Businesses sprung up, taking people kayaking and paddleboarding, and you can even do like coast steering, I think it's called, where it's you just like you put a wetsuit on and a pair of trainers and a helmet, and then you just go legging it up and down the coastline, jumping into the sea, climbing up rocks, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Really cool. I mean, I'll mention them actually because it's kind of related to weight loss. So it's mainly is called Adventure Northumberland. They've got vans and all over the place. So I'll give them a shout out later on properly.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
Paddleboarding is a very, very peaceful little pursuit. I'd highly recommend it, you know, when the tide's right and the river's nice and quiet.
Yeah, big in the Middle East. Lots of people paddleboard.
Right.
Yeah.
It's taken off here, but in fact I've got our board right in front of me. I've just deflated it. I can see the appeal once we got out there. It was lovely. Wonder if it seems to be a bit of a fad, but yeah, man. But it's quite a good exercise as well, which leads us on to our episode, because we talk, you did a blog post about lockdown weight loss or lockdown weight gain, maybe as it should be. Is this from personal experience, Sean, or is this from people you're speaking to as well?
Well, it's both. I put on 16 pounds in lockdown. But so many people I'm talking to, I mean, I put on a lot, actually, like several stone.
You know? Really?
And the biggest problem is that we're coming out of lockdown into the winter blues. And when you get to the winter blues, people tend to eat carbohydrates and put on weight anyway. So unless people start to address it now, by the time we get to kind of February, people are going to be real bloaters.
Mm.
Yeah, we need to actually, all of us, pay attention to where we are now before we go into the dark months, because it's going to get worse. Yeah.
We get kind of mixed messages from the government at the moment on a few things, but I mean, there's a big push. The government launched an obesity something, you know, report a couple of months ago. And then I think our Prime Minister, to be fair, kind of his stint in intensive care through all this, and his kind of, I think his response to his own weight and his kind of physical appearance maybe was kind of a catalyst for that. And then he's come out with some really good stuff on cycling as well, actually, and kind of linking that together.
Right, yeah.
Good. But then there's obviously the stuff about Eat Out to Help Out, Rishi's Dishes and all that stuff. You know, the restaurants are just chock full of people stuffing their faces with, you know, me included, with all sorts of food. So kind of mixed messages going on at the moment, are there?
Yeah. I think that because Boris was a bit chobbly anyway, he was carrying a bit, that when he went through that corona experience, I'm sure it made him aware that you need to be lighter to be okay. But that's true generally, isn't it? It's like, if you think about your heart, your brain, your joints, there's all kinds of things, diabetes. It's like we have a responsibility to keep our weight down, really. And it's so easy just to kind of keep picking and putting the weight on, especially in lockdown. The amount of people that said to me, I've become a couch potato. I literally just get up in the morning and I don't even bother to get dressed. I've still got my pyjamas on. I go and sit in front of the telly and I put absolute rubbish on the television and then I start picking.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, these are the guys that have been furloughed and they've just got, they're being paid to do nothing.
Mm. Yeah, and a lot of the people I've been working with work in the health service anyway. And it's like, they should know better, but they're not. They're stuck in there, you know. It's human reaction, I guess, you know.
I guess, are we kind of powerless against this stuff? We're going to talk about various ways we can lose weight and get ourselves. It's not just about losing weight as well, is it? We'll come on to this later on maybe, but it's just about generally having a good attitude, to like a good state of mind towards yourself.
We get back into the mindfulness stuff.
We don't want to start like fat shaming here, do we? Because there are people who are overweight a little bit and, you know, the happiest, most, you know, well-rounded, I was going to say, but I didn't mean like that. the most awake people you will meet. So we don't want to just focus too much on losing weight for the sake of it, do we?
Think of the weight not in terms of kind of emotional status or any of that kind of stuff. Just think of it in terms of what you're doing for you. We know that if you get the virus and you're holding a lot of weight, you're not in a good position. Yeah, but that's true for so many disease situations. You need to be lighter. Yeah. We carry too much fat. And it's because the basic problem is we sit down too much. And in lockdown, people have been sitting down even more.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I mean, go on.
Now, you and I both do jobs where we sit down and stare at screens. I'm talking to people. You're doing the computer work. You're doing design and stuff. And it's like, it's easy to spend the whole day sat down if you don't get off your butt and go and do something, you know?
Very easy. I mean, part of the reason I got an office instead of working from home, which I have been doing nicely, but I worked from home for 5 years before that. But I partly got an office just because, especially in the winter. It could be sometimes it would go 3 or 4 days without leaving the house. Now, that was before I had kids. You know, I've got to get people to school now and take them around, that kind of thing. But so my life's changed a little bit, but still. I'm missing the commute, weirdly. Not weirdly, because that's where I get my exercise, you know, cycling to work as well. But, so I've had,
yeah, yeah.
I have been missing that. And I found it hard during lockdown to just find time or make time to go out for a bike ride, because I don't tend to go for bike rides recreationally, you know, for fun. It's a way of getting around for me. And so for 3 or 4 months, I hardly rode my bike, you know, my brand new gravel bike that I love to bits, but I had to really force myself to go out and get a few miles in.
Yeah. But you've done it.
I have. And I mean, you know, especially the last month or two, I've started to go out more for meetings and meeting up with people in parks and that, to have chats, outdoor meetings, which I've quite enjoyed. School starts a week on Wednesday, and I won't be going back to the office properly, but I'm going to start easing myself back into it, I think.
So how long is it going to take you to get back in there, do you think?
But back in the office permanently?
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I mean, I have to wait and see. I'm kind of thinking after Christmas now, but I might start going in a couple of days a week from September. But we'll see. You'll see. We've moved offices, by the way. So next time you come in, we're going to be on the other side of the building, just across the way. A bigger space. Right. But there's a couple of guys in there already. So I need to check out how they're feeling about having an office full of people potentially. Virus, it's still circulating, isn't it, apparently?
Yeah. Well, the infection rate is going up. And the death rate is staying flat, but that means one's going to feed into the other, really.
Yeah.
I was talking to people in Saudi Arabia yesterday, and they were saying to me that the kind of rumour on the ground, no one's actually coming out officially yet, is that they may not come out of lockdown until March next year. And they're saying that they want a vaccine in place before they start to come out. And wow. I wonder how much that will be reflected across the world, really, that things will be in lockdown till, you know, March, April, May next year.
Yeah. I know. Well, we need to get a proper winter under our belt with this virus, don't we? Just to understand it a bit better, I think. Still a lot of question marks about it. But in terms of the next few months, then we'll talk about you personally then now, Sean, because you've got a bit of a job to do. Or do you want to lose that weight that you've put on, or are you okay with that?
I do. I want to lose it before we go into the dark winter month, so that I'm clear of it. But before then, yeah.
So what's your plan? What are you going to do?
I'm going to do Michael Mosley, who I like a lot. Lovely. He's a GP and does amazing work on the way that our behaviours affect our mood and our health and immunity, stuff like that. So what I'm going to do, and you can catch this at the moment, it's on line at the moment, is the Fast 800 diet, where he's got a whole gang of people that in 21 days lose a stone. Wow. Which is like amazing. So when I come back from my holes, I'm going to do the 21 days 800 fast diet, and then I'm going to go on to the 5-2 again. So I'm doing the 5-2 to maintain the weight. So I should be under 11 stone, really.
Is that your fighting weight, is it?
Yeah, 11 and under. If I get to 10 and a half, people say to me, you look thin. Yeah, so that's sort of like just under 11, I'm good. I'm at about 12.4, 12.5 at the moment.
Right, so okay.
I need to lose that lump, you know, get down.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, it's going to be a couple of weeks before you get started, but I'm sure we can give our guests, our listeners, week-by-week updates, eh?
Yeah, so the deal is that when you do the Fast 800, you do P-tests to check the what's going on in your liver. So you need to get into that kind of ketosis state, so you're burning the fat. Right. And you can get special sticks that you pee on and get the right colour. So it's like checking your blood sugars, your blood pressure, and then the ketotic state of your liver. And then you're burning the calories. That's when you get rid of that weight, so you can do a stone in 21 days, which is, so is
this,
amazing.
This one you're doing, the 800 diet, is that a diet that's suitable for everyone, or do we need to be wary of letting people know?
No, everybody, you always have to do this, don't you? But if you have any pre-existing conditions, you need to talk to your GP. It's quite important that, you know, for everybody. For most people, it will work. And you can vary that. I mean, he does the 800, but it could be 1,000 or 1,200, depending on what you're doing with your life and your body. But he does explain that in the book, if you read the book, you know, which is good. Yeah.
One of our regular listeners, Mike Southard or Mike Still, he's got a YouTube channel. He's quite into his fasting and what have you, and he's experimented with that as well. And it's something that I do daily, fasting, but without even thinking about it, because my window of when I eat in the day is quite narrow. I don't know if it's like I'm 9 stone, and that's a bit like for a 38 year old. It's quite unusual, and I've always been in and around 9 stone just since I was about 21. In fact, I weigh less now than when I was at university. I was eating a lot then and smoking a little bit as well. So yeah, I didn't have the best diet. But it's not really through any bit huge effort, to be honest. You know, I cycle to work, but I'm not like going as fast as I can, or I'm not counting the calories. I'm not timing myself. It's just, you know, I mainly did it just because it's a cheap way of getting around. Since I had kids and I was like, I've got manic mornings getting them ready for school, I would fail to make time to have breakfast myself. So I would feed the lads, and then I'd be legging around getting all their stuff ready so we can get out of the house on time. And I would skip breakfast, and then so I wouldn't have lunch till 11:30 midday. And then we have dinner as a family at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. So my window when I'm eating in the day is quite small. But I think there's been quite a lot of studies and research done on that being quite a healthy thing to do, actually.
Yeah, what they talk about is having an 8-hour eating window and a 16-hour fasting window.
Right.
That's the ideal.
Yeah.
Most people can get to kind of like 12-12, so they're eating for 12 and then fasting for 12. But if you can get to an 8-16, which is the kind of thing you're doing, then that's the most effective way of doing it.
Yeah. Mine's 16, which is, yeah. But I am really hungry by midday. Sometimes it's even 11:30 and I'm just like legging it to get my lunch from the fridge. The caveats here that, you know, check with your doctor and all that, but I kind of did it by mistake. Yeah. But I do need to get a cholesterol test, because it's been a couple of years since I did, but I did find out that I had quite high cholesterol. So just because I'm skinny and thin and I can ride a bike, you know, all day without stopping, and I weigh 9 stone, doesn't necessarily mean I'm the healthiest inside, does it? You need to be a bit careful about getting checkups and seeing what's going on inside, eh?
There is something about cholesterol, which I'm going to go off piste here. Mm-hmm. It's like cholesterol is quite important. You need it in your body.
Yeah.
And it's good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. But many people like you, who've got genetic sort of propensity to high levels of cholesterol, have been doing it for generations. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's like we focus on sugar, or we focus on salt, or we focus on cholesterol. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're right. We're learning as we go along. And it could be that you naturally have a high cholesterol level, but that's a part of your genetic structure, which makes it normal for you, which for another person would be damaging. We don't know that yet.
I was made aware of that, actually. My mum's side of the family has issues with cholesterol and high blood pressure as well, actually. Some of her family had serious trouble with it, but my mum's fit and healthy, and she's out jogging with her pals and cycling as well. But so I didn't get too stressed out about the cholesterol once I'd done a bit of research on it and a bit of homework. But still, it's useful information to have, isn't it? I would say.
So do you check your blood pressure as well?
I did for a while because you left a machine in our office, didn't you? And we got obsessed with it. I know I was noting it, but again, that was probably a year and a half ago. Yeah. Have you still got one of your blood pressure machines lying around?
I have, yeah. Do you need to borrow one?
Well, it'd be interesting. Yeah, I was always in the healthy bit, but yeah, I should probably give it another squirt and see what I'm at.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that I will do when I go onto this 800 diet. We'll be checking my blood pressure as well.
Yeah.
I might do the blood sugars as well. You have to do a prick test on your finger, which can be a bit, and then put it in a reader. But I'd probably do that as well, just to check it through this 800 diet.
Mm.
And check it for real. Because the idea is that you do the 800, you do your blood pressure and your sugars, and you wait, obviously. The issue is how do you go on time? Because he does 21 days, where some people would do like 40 days. You know, it's like what's actually happening to your system? You don't check it, you don't know.
I mean, we are seasonal creatures. So you know, humans will probably, you know, we are designed to get put on a bit of weight in the winter so that we, you know, especially this part of the world, to see through the winter months. Yeah. But isn't the ultimate goal for all of us listening, me included, to have a diet that doesn't require too much thinking about and too much effort, and that doesn't require huge shifts, you know, once a year or every couple of years to kind of get you down to your fighting weight?
I think that the trick is that you need to become conscious of things like sugars, because there's so many sugars in so many snacks that you train your brain to crave them, and you need to not do that, or you need to break the craving. But the biggest thing is move your body. You know, we're hunter-gatherers. We're designed to be moving around, and we spend our lives sat down. That's the biggest problem. Get up and move your butt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're talking about cycling. When I was a kid, people didn't have cars. They either cycled or they walked. And that was where the calories were burned. But people used to eat like fat bacon and belly pork and all that kind of stuff and dripping. But they weren't fat people, because they were moving their body. They were burning the calories that they were putting in, energy out kind of stuff.
I'm always seeing stuff online related to cycling, obviously, because I'm obsessed with it. But I saw another one posted yesterday by a parliamentary group that does research into cycling and blah blah blah, all the good ups and upsides of it. And there's been a report come out, another one, showing that people that commute to work, they did 25-year study by bike cycling, have a 20%, they're 20% less likely to die over that period of time. Something like, again, 20% less likely to have a heart condition that means you have to go to hospital, and 14% less likely to get cancer of any kind.
Well,
so it's like, I'm reading this stuff and I kind of know it already, but I think deep down we probably all know this stuff. Like, we know it's for us. So why don't we do the things that we know will, you know, add years to our life? why don't we do it? Why don't we eat the good food?
Because your brain isn't driven by logic. Your brain is driven by the chemistry. Mm. So that if you eat sugars like chocolate and stuff like that, it makes your brain feel good. And that's what we crave. We crave our brain feeling good. So we will eat foods that actually make us feel good, unless we change the habit structure.
Is that the same for getting in a car as opposed to getting on a bike? The coziness of the car, or the feeling of power? And
yeah, completely. The amount of people that come home and they think, I've got to go for a run because that's going to set their body chemistry. They're not thinking that's going to set my body chemistry. They're thinking, I need to go for a run. And there are other people that have learned, when you come home, I need to have a glass of wine. Yeah, it's the habit that we create. But the thing is that we can actually recreate the habits that we've got. Yeah. And for some people, the idea of going for a run is like, oh my God, I couldn't do that. For others, like, woo, let me go and do it.
Yeah. I'm not a runner at all. There's a YouTuber called Casey Neistat, He's a filmmaker and he did a daily vlog for a while and he still puts amazing films up, but he's a runner. And I think like you actually, because you were well into it for a while, weren't you, before you're a bit of an injury. But he'll just pound out 10, 13 miles every morning. You know, he'll get up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
His life isn't complete unless he's gone for a run in the morning. That's crazy, because I'm not a runner and I'm not even a recreational cyclist. I only cycle because, you know, I don't want to buy a second car because I couldn't stretch to it at the time.
No, for me, I the idea of 5 o'clock is a good time, get up and go for a run. And the exhilaration of running for me is lovely. It's getting my muscles to not kind of tear and rip while I'm doing it is the issue. So I was doing like 20 miles, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, 16 to 20, which would be kind of normal for me. Mm. And then the ligaments and the muscles started to go, what you doing? Slow down here.
Have you come back yet? Because you have started up again quite recently, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm back to doing like 5Ks. Yeah.
Mm. It's amazing how, because I haven't been riding as much, and I have noticed when I've been on a bike recently that my body isn't in the same shape, even though it's only been a few weeks since I was, you know. So your body does forget things quite quickly, but it also learns them quickly as well, because there's a hill near me that I come up every now and again on my way back home, and you know, the first few times that I tried it, or I go up it, or my wife's cycling actually, when she comes out with us, or me, she struggles. But it's amazing how quickly your body, you know, the second or the third time you attempt that hill, you can get up it, you know. And it's quite amazing how quickly we can get new things, isn't it?
Is it that you need an electric bike?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of those going around actually since we've been up here. Incredible bits to get. And you do get a good workout on them as well, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And the thing is that people think if you've got an electric bike, you've got it on all the time. If you keep it switched off, you're just riding a bike. You only put it on when you want to. It's cool.
Very cool. All right. So what about, we've talked about ourselves really, but what about folks you're working with out there in the real world? Are you recommending different diet types to them, or is it a diet that's right for them, or just is it the mindset that needs to change first?
I think that it's all of that. It's like when we've been in this lockdown head, we've got to get out of it. And then we've got to address our body. The first thing to do is go and stand on a weighing machine and think, okay, I put on this much, what do I need to lose? And then look at the different ways you could do it. In the blog, I suggest different things you could do. Some people want to go to the gym because it's kind of social and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. Move your body. Yeah, your body is designed to move, not to sit on a sofa or lie in bed or sit down doing a computer. Move your body. That's what it's designed to do. And if you do it, it burns the calories.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't mention that gyms have been closed, and that for a lot of people, the gym is the place where they go to get their exercise. So,
well, they're opening now. They're open here. You know, we're starting to do it again. Yeah,
I believe so. I mean, I used to go to the gym a lot before kids arrived. I'm kind of glad I don't now, because I don't think we should have to outsource our physical well-being to, you know, a room that you have to drive a few miles to get to. I think it's a bit of a weird concept, and it's a bit of a weird, clever business model as well, because a lot of people will sign up and then not go very often. So, I hope.
But one of the things is, in what you just said, you could actually ride a bike or run or walk to the gym. That'd be good. That'd be exercise.
Yeah, well, I saw someone tweet the other day that just close all the car parks at gyms, you know, and force people to walk. Imagine the heart of the uproar.
That'd be good.
Yeah. What's your resource, Sean?
Well, I've got two. One is the 13-day detox, which is that actually on the site?
I think it's on seanorford.com somewhere. Yeah, I'll link to it.
If you could link that, yeah. And the other one is the Fast 800 Diet, which is the Michael Mosley. It's a book, and it's a whole kind of series on the TV. If you actually check it out on the TV, it's on there too.
Yeah. Cool. All right. A couple of things from me. Yeah, I'm going to link to Adventure Northumberland, who do brilliant, you know, action-packed days out up here in Northumberland. But I'm sure there are similar organisations right around the country and even on the world. Yeah. I bet stuff goes on at West Kirby and New Brighton.
Yeah,
all the time. And also, I'll link to a short film by that guy Casey Neistat, and it's called My Addiction. And it's running, and it's a cool little film to get you charged up and get you in there.
Yeah,
good for going for a run.
Yeah, good.
Right, sure. We're all done, I think. You go and put your feet up now, eh?
I'm going to go and cook some food then, which is late, but I'm going to cook it.
Well, whatever. What, if that's your idea of relaxation, you go for it.
I'm going to chill, man. Yeah.
All right, good to see you. And we'll see everyone in next time, eh?
Yeah, you take care.
Take it easy.
See ya.
See you later. Bye. See ya.
Bye.